It's good to be before you again. I praise God for the opportunity to continue on in this series that we're in called Jesus Is, So I Am, right? Each week we're going to look at who Jesus is and what that has to do with who we are, right? Last week, as we celebrated the resurrection of our Savior, we looked at the fact that Jesus is risen. Right? And so because he is risen, then I am made new. I can start all over. See, if Jesus isn't risen from the dead, then I can't be made new. I can't become a different person if by his grace I can't be saved. Like, if I can't submit myself to him, then he can't make me brand new, right? But praise God, he is risen. And so I have the opportunity to be changed by the one who conquered death itself. Praise the Lord. Today, we're going to look at the truth that Jesus is the way. Jesus is the way. We see in John chapter 14, in verse 6, that it says, Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So then the question is, if Jesus is the way, not a way, right? If he is the way, the only way that we get to the Father, the only way that we get to that new life, the only way that we get to be changed, the only way that we get to be forgiven, if he is the way, then what am I? What does that say about me if I say that Jesus is my way, my only way? What does that say about me if he is my way? That's what we're going to look into today. Before we do that, though, if you would, pray with me. Lord God, I just thank you so much for your presence here among us, God. I thank you, Lord, for your holy word, and I thank you, God, that your word transforms lives. I thank you, God, that your gospel is enough. I thank you, Lord, that the good news of Jesus is enough, Lord. And so, God, I just ask in the name of Jesus that the words of my mouth would be yours today, God. That your message alone would be proclaimed in this place, Father, that you would stir up our hearts in such a way, God, that we wouldn't just hear your word, but God, that we would be motivated and compelled to do something with this life-giving word that you are showing us and revealing to us even now, God. We set ourselves, Lord, in a posture to receive from you. Lord, we ask in the name of Jesus that you would transform our posture in such a way, God, that we might give to you as well. Motivate us to respond to you today. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So, if Jesus is the way in my life, right, then I am a Jesus follower. Right. And so again, I want to clarify some language here. Right. If Jesus is a way, then I may not necessarily be a Jesus follower. You see what I'm saying? People choose a lot of different directions in their lives. But if we really believe that Jesus is the way, then I am a Jesus follower. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24 says, Then Jesus said to his disciples, Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. Right? You don't get to follow Jesus and then tell him where he's going to go. Right? That's not following Jesus. Right? You don't get to tell Jesus how great he is and then tell him to follow you. No, that's not how it works, right? In fact, in Matthew 16, 24 here, it says that not only do we have to follow him, we have to deny ourselves. In other words, we have to recognize, you know what? We have this whole path laid out here that we wanted to go on, and we have to deny whatever that is. It might even look good. It might not even be unholy or like in opposition to God. But this is where we wanted to go. According to Jesus, if we want to be his disciple, we have to deny our way in order that we might follow his way. Right? We can't go both directions at the same time. Like, it just doesn't work like that. If Jesus is the way, then we must follow him. And at its core, part of that is that we first have to accept the fact that we can't do this on our own. We need to follow Jesus. We need to recognize that, you know what, we are sinners in need of a Savior. And all we've done in our lives is mess up, right? Like, we might have tried to do some good things, but the reality is that when we do things on our own strength, all we're going to get to is what we can't do, right? So we first have to start with the fact that, you know what, I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. I need a Savior, right? And if Jesus is our way, then we have to believe that he is the only Savior of our life, that he is the only way, truth, and life, that the only way that we get in right relationship with God the Father is through a relationship with God the Son, in order that we might be filled with God the Holy Spirit, who will show us how to live this out as we go. Right? We've got to then, as Scripture tells us, we've got to then confess to God and to the world that we are his children, that he is our God, that Jesus is our Savior. We can't be quiet about this thing. We can't be closet Christians, right? We can't be undercover in this thing. Like, we got to be all the way out with who we are in relationship to Jesus. We've got to be followers of him, right? But what does it mean to really be a follower of Jesus? Well, this is where the sermon gets crazy, okay? You guys have heard of the game Simon Says before, right? Yeah. I'm gonna try this. This may be the worst idea I've ever had in my whole life. I'm just gonna let you know this right now. I hope this is of the Lord, but we're gonna find out here in about 30 seconds. Because some people think that if we're following Jesus, that we're just doing what he says, right? And so, like, almost like with the game Simon Says, it's almost like Jesus says, right? So you guys are going to play this with me now. You ready? All right, so if I say Jesus says, then whatever I say after that, you do that, right? Does that make sense? So Jesus says, raise your right arm, right? Jesus says, raise your left arm, right? Put your right arm down. See, now you're out. You see that? You see how that works there? Jesus didn't say put your right arm down. You got to pay attention to what Jesus is saying. Have you never played this game before? You see how that works there, right? Put your hands down. Just kidding, Jesus didn't say. No, don't do that anymore. I'm done with that part of the illustration. Jesus says, put your hands down and listen and give a really good offering. Amen. Praise the Lord. I told you, it might not be from the Lord. This might just be my own bad idea here, all right? But there's a whole nother way here, see, because I wasn't just telling you what to do. Right? I was also showing you what to do, right? And in fact, for some of you, I tricked you, right? Because I did something that Jesus didn't say, right? And you did what I did, right? See, what we have to recognize is that Jesus didn't just teach his disciples by what he said, he taught them by what he did, amen. Right? And he expected that his disciples were not only going to follow the words that he said, but that they were also going to follow what he modeled for them to do. See, we don't just follow what Jesus says, but we also have to do what he did. And by the way, this is why we believe that relational discipleship is so important. We talk about relational discipleship a lot because we see Jesus in relationship with these 12 other guys. And he's spending, like, a lot of time with these guys. And he's interacting, he's healing other people, and they're there, and they're talking about it afterwards and processing things. He's getting them engaged and doing stuff and all these kinds of things. Like the disciples didn't just do what Jesus told them to do. The disciples did what Jesus showed them how to do. We believe that the best way that we can really become Jesus followers is to get around other people who are Jesus followers and just start doing what they're doing. Right? I mean, yeah, it's important that we talk about what Jesus talked about, but it's also important that we actually show each other what it looks like to follow Jesus well, right? So, if Jesus is the way, then I have to be a Jesus follower. But if Jesus is the way, then yes, I am a Jesus follower, and, right? See, Jesus had this, let me show you here. In Luke chapter 9, verse 14, Jesus is at, he's got like a whole bunch of people out there that he is preaching to. The disciples come to him, they're like, hey, we got to send these people out of here. There ain't enough food for all these people. And Jesus says to them, well, like, y'all feed them. What? Like, we ain't got enough money for all this. All we got is these, you know, a couple of loaves of fish, or loaves of bread, a couple of fish, whatever like that. Like, how in the world are we supposed to feed these people all this, right? This is all we got. And Jesus says to his disciples, Luke chapter 9 and verse 14, he says to his disciples, have them sit down in groups of about 50 each. Now, here's what I want you to recognize in this, is that Jesus gave the disciples something to do, right? Jesus didn't go around to all those people and say, hey, y'all get together in about 50 people, all right? Y'all get together. Jesus didn't go around to them. The disciples went around to him and said, all right, y'all, 50 people here, 50 people, 100 different groups of 50 out there. I think the math is right, right? All the, right? So the disciples had to go around and get everybody in their groups. And Jesus didn't go out and do that, right? That's interesting, though, right? Because the disciples are supposed to be the followers, right? The disciples are supposed to be following Jesus. Now, all of a sudden, they're the ones that 5,000 men are looking at as they're the ones telling all those 5,000 people what to do, right? And then it gets even better because then Jesus actually takes the bread and the fish and he gives it to the disciples. Says, here, you take it out to them. Hold on a second now. Jesus, you're supposed to be the leader. I'm supposed to be the follower. Now all of a sudden, 5,000 guys, and including all the women and children and everything else, right? Now they're looking at the disciples like the disciples are the ones doing this. So they are followers because they're doing what Jesus told them to do. But in the eyes of the people that are receiving, oh, these aren't just followers, right? These are people who are leaders. They're organizers, right? They're actually like we're seeing the miraculous provision of God through these 12 dudes. None of them saw that through Jesus directly, right? Think about that, right? The disciples followed Jesus, yet Jesus sent them out as leaders with the gospel to heal the sick, to cast out demons, to heal people in his name. Like you just need to know, like yes, the disciples followed Jesus, but then Jesus also sent them out to do the same things that he did. So then what does that make the disciples? Like, yes, they're followers, but it feels like there's more to that as well, right? See, no matter what we are doing, we are influencing people around us. Yes, amen. And if we are following Jesus, then we are influencing people for Christ. Amen. I know a lot of people don't want to think of themselves as I'm gonna use the L word. All right. A lot of people don't like to think of themselves as leaders, right? People get real anxious when you start talking about them as leaders. I don't want to be a leader, Pastor. We're going to get more to that here in just a minute. But the reality is that you are leading and influencing people whether you want to or not, right? You don't have to want to influence people in order for it to happen, right? People around you are going to see you doing stuff. They're going to hear you saying stuff. They're going to, that just you being around people is going to influence those that you are around. So the question is, like who are we allowing to influence us since we know we're going to be influencing others? Who are we following since we know that we're going to be making an impact on people around us? Like, who are we following so that our impact actually takes them back to Jesus? You see that? Amen. Because if we're not intentional about what we're doing with our influence, then the world will tell us how to use our influence, right? And I can tell you right now, if your influence is not determined by Jesus who is the way, then what does determine your influence will come against that. I know you don't want to hear that today. I know you want to think that, oh, well, even if I'm not following Jesus, like I'm not doing anything crazy out there, so it's not like I'm following the devil or anything, and I'm just letting you know, like if you ain't following Jesus, if he's not your way, if he's not the one who's determining how you are influencing others, then I'm just letting you know right now, if Jesus ain't doing it, then the devil's the only one left. All right? There's no such thing as just being neutral in all this. There's just not. And so we're either going to be used of God to make an impact for his kingdom, or we're going to be used of the enemy to make an impact for his kingdom. We got to decide which one we're going to go with there, right? The opportunity to share with others our experiences of how we are following Jesus and what he's done in our lives. Like, all of that is leading others, right? Even if we're not telling them, like, you got to get saved, right? Just telling people what God has done in your life will influence people around us. Just telling people the fact that you show up at some crazy worship service every Sunday is going to influence how people see you and really what they think about themselves. And it's going to challenge them to wonder, like, why am I not in some crazy worship service every Sunday, right? Like, the stories that you tell about your life and how it is they connect to Jesus will absolutely influence the people around you. You don't have to be some sort of televangelist or pastor in a church or anything like that. Like, you just talk about your life and how God is a part of that. Amen. And that's going to influence people around you. Yes, John 13 and verse 15. Let me set up the story here real quick. Jesus is washing his disciples' feet, right? And if you're part of a community group, right now you're going to be studying this chapter actually, and it's really cool to see how Jesus teaches in some really, really interesting ways here. And so he gets done washing their feet, and then he goes back, and I love the question that he asked them. He's like, do you understand what I've done for you, right? What I love about that is he's Jesus. He knows they don't understand what he just did for them, right? I mean, it's almost kind of like, I mean, that's kind of rude, Jesus. Like, you know they don't get it. Like, why are you even asking them, right? But anyway, it was sort of funny. Get to verse 15, and he tells them, I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. He did not say that you should say what I have said to you. He said you should do as I have done for you. See, if Jesus is the way, then yes, we do need to follow him, but there's more to that. Like, part of following Jesus is that when he sends us out, we gotta go and influence others in the way that he told us to go. We gotta do what he tells us to do, which then leads us here to the fact that if Jesus is the way, then I am a leader to Jesus. Come on, somebody. I knew I was going to get all kind of amens right there. Got a couple of groans. Yeah, no, I get it. I know the leader word is something that we don't want to hear anything like that, but it's there. Like, in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, right? Great commission here. Therefore, Jesus says to his disciples, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. See, we are not called just to follow what Jesus said, but also to follow what Jesus did. He spent his time making disciples, and then he told those guys, okay, now you go do that with some other people, right? Jesus focused on a small group of people, and he spent a lot of time with them. He helped them process their experiences, and he helped them process even what God's word said and meant, right? And then Jesus sent them out to do the exact same thing with other people. Church, we have to recognize here that mature believers of Jesus Christ are going to be leaders. Amen, Pastor. Come on now. Mature believers of Jesus Christ are going to be leaders, right? And leaders are going to make disciples. right? Now here, let me clarify this real quick here too. I'm not saying that because you've been following Jesus for a bajillion years now, and because you have the Word of God memorized, that now you can disciple others. No, what I'm saying is, if we are followers of Jesus first, and we hear what he is saying to us, then the only way that we can adequately follow him is to lead other people to him. Because that's what he told us to do. If we're not leading other people to him, then we're not following him. Well, I hope you catch that today, right? Now, hear me clear now. Not everybody is at the same stage of spiritual development here, right? Some people are just brand new to Jesus. And like, hear me clearly. I don't want you to feel the response, the eternal responsibility of someone else's life in your hands, right? Don't hear what I'm not saying here, right? But I do believe that each and every person who says Jesus is the way, we ought to recognize that Jesus is telling his disciples that we can't just stay where we were when we got saved. He didn't die on a cross so we could stay where we were when we got saved. He died on a cross so we could be made new. We could be perfected and made complete. Like, we could grow in him. We could come to know him more. And we could follow everything in this word to his glory. And that when we do, we're going to tell other people about it because he tells us to. And so we're going to be followers of Jesus. Then we got to do what he tells us to do. Jesus told his disciples, go and make disciples. Teach them. Baptize them. Right? We can't just allow our own comfort to keep us from actually following Jesus. We can't let our own comfort just take us so far with him, but not let us go all the way with him. See, if Jesus is the way, then I am a leader to Jesus. Oh, but Pastor, I don't want to be a leader. I don't want to influence other people. I don't like other people are hard to deal with, and I don't really like other people, and I'm introverted, and I don't really like all this kind of stuff. That's great and everything. Please excuse the whiny tone. You probably don't sound like that. Probably. Lord help me. But I got it. Like, I have bad news for you. I mean, it's good news, but it's bad news. For those of you who don't really want to be a leader, like, Jesus got you there too, right? Because the reality is, he doesn't really want you to be a leader like you think a leader, right? Watch this now. Mark chapter 10, verse 43. Jesus says to his disciples, not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. Oh, well, Pastor, I don't want to be a leader. I just want to serve. Praise the Lord. Oh, you're more than qualified to lead. Hallelujah. Like, you should be first in line. Oh, wait, we got more here. In Luke chapter 22, verse 27, who is greater, the one who is at the table or the one who serves? Ooh, watch Jesus. Mess him up right here, right? Is it not the one who is at the table? But I am among you as one who serves. Like, oh, I just want to see Jesus drop a mic right there and walk off. Like, oh, y'all didn't even see that coming, right? Like, praise the Lord. Oh, Pastor, I don't want to lead. Like, I don't want to be in charge of other people or anything. Well, praise God, Jesus is in charge. Amen. Oh, Lord, I don't want to lead other people. They're too hard to deal with. Yeah, trust me, I know, right? Lord, like, Pastor, I don't want to lead other people. Like, I don't need you to lead. I need you to serve other people. And if you're one who's like, oh, I don't want to lead, I just want to serve, praise the Lord, then get out there and serve with everything you got and do what Jesus tells you to do. Because if he's the way, then we got to do what he tells us to do. And we gotta lead others by serving others. Like, y'all didn't know how qualified you were to be leaders, didn't you? You didn't know how much the Lord had been setting you up to lead others. We don't need you to be like this we don't need you to look like the world's kind of leader. That's really what Jesus is getting at here. We don't need you to compare you to, like, you know, CEOs of Fortune 500s and all that kind of stuff. Like, we don't need you to be that. Jesus wasn't that, right? What we need to do is if we're going to lead people to Jesus, then we got to serve people. We got to love on people. We got to do exactly what he did for us through others, right? So praise God that you don't see yourself as a leader. Praise God that you only, like, that you see yourself as one who serves, because, man, you're in the best position possible to be able to lead others to Jesus just by serving others, right? So let me hit you with a few questions here. As the worship team, come on back up here, because if you don't, I'm going to keep going. First of all, we really need to ask ourselves this very important, very simple question is, are you a follower of Jesus? Right? Now, this is not this is not a trick question. All right, I'm just letting you know. This is not a trick question. This is are you a follower of Jesus? Or maybe the question should even be, do you want to be a follower of Jesus? Right? Sometimes I think we think of ourselves as Jesus followers, but then we're not actually following Jesus. Like, we in our minds, we want to be followers of Jesus, but then with our actions and with our mouth, we don't always actually do what he wants us to do. And so then it really just brings us back to the same question here, is that, are you actually a follower of Jesus? Are you tired of just making your own way? And do you need to recognize that Jesus is the way? Are you tired of recognizing that your way only leads to failure and his way will always lead to victory? Do you want to actually get to that way of victory? Do you want to get to that place of forgiveness? Do you want to actually put your faith in Jesus, recognizing that putting your faith in yourself just has not worked? Like, do you want to be a follower of Jesus? And then, what's holding you back from following Jesus when he tells you to lead? When God's Holy Spirit begins to motivate you and encourage you and maybe even challenge you to lead in some different ways, when God's Holy Spirit challenges you to maybe talk to somebody that you work with or talk to somebody in your family or maybe just serve in some way with the church or something like that, what is it that's holding you back from saying yes to Jesus? What is it that's holding you back from really following him and saying yes to him? How is God challenging you to follow him and lead others to him more faithfully? See, if we're going to be followers of Jesus, then we have to say yes to him. I had a pastor when I was growing up, Denny Huebner, and he used to say all the time, you can say no and you can say Lord, but you can't say no Lord. If he is your Lord, if he is the one that you are, if he is the way, then you can't tell him no, because then you're going your own way, right? If he is the way, then you have to say yes. So the question is, what is he challenging us to do that we must say yes to? And what's been keeping us from saying yes to him? If you would, stay with me. We're going to sing a song in response here, and as we do, I want to encourage you to just really submit yourself to him. Maybe today is the day you say yes to him for the very first time, and you say, you know what? I've never actually confessed that Jesus is my Savior. I've never actually confessed that I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. I've never confessed that Jesus is my way, and today I want to confess that before him in prayer. Maybe you want to meet somebody at an altar here, and they can pray with you. Maybe you just want to pull somebody aside right where you are and say, hey, I got to make this happen right now. Like, whatever it is, like, maybe you recognize that you've told people that you're a follower of Jesus for a long time, but you haven't actually been saying yes to Jesus for a long time. Maybe today's the day where those challenges get overcome in the name of Jesus. Amen. What is it that he's calling you to do? As we sing this song, I want you to say yes to him. Whatever it is that he's challenging you with, say yes to him. Let him have his way in your life for his glory. Amen.